Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. This is a very special episode. We don't normally have a Tuesday update. However, I had to take to a microphone because the premiere of Vanderpump Rules happened. I have been changed for good. It's like they say in Wicked. I have been changed for good after watching it. This premiere had everything. It had an engagement. It had a piercing. It had Ken taking multiple naps on camera. I was so happy to have these people back. Bravo has been giving us tons of Housewives lately, so it was nice to see something a little fresher, a little younger, even though, you know, they're not all so young anymore. But I do think they all look better than ever, the entire cast. I think they all look a little trimmer, a little glowier. Lisa's got new teeth. Ken's are about to fall out. I hope she got a 2-for-1, maybe picked up some dentures while she got her new teeth. You guys, Ken's eyes might have been open, but he was napping this entire episode. I feel like we're well into this show enough now that it's like they know what works on them. They know how to costume themselves. They know what filler, Botox, and everything looks good on them. The girls and the boys know how to do their makeup. I'm not judging. We know the boys wear the makeup too, as do I, but they know what they're doing now. And I feel like seeing them all look so fresh made me really happy. And I don't know if I was just like craving this show or I missed it so much, but it just felt so exciting to have it back. I'll tell you who didn't look excited to have a new season, Ken. Like Ken, we're just wheeling him into scenes to take a nap at this point. I mean, he's just being like Weekend at Bernie's in to these shots, and it's very tough to watch. But I want to run through the episode. Did you guys watch the marathon that was like running up to it? Like I caught like bits and pieces throughout before the episode started and I was super excited. And I was reminded of all the things that happened like last season's reunion. I saw that, you know, when Sheena stormed off and, you know, she said it was harder than her divorce filming the reunion. And that was the moment where I was like, oh my God, I can't wait for the premiere. Like that, just seeing like Sheena cry and storm off stage, I was like, oh my God, I need this show in my veins, like injected into my veins. Like I need it. Oh, it was wonderful to have them back. We opened with that trailer, like tonight's, the episode, the very first scene we see is the trailer that we've already watched. Like I've literally watched that trailer for this season at least 27 times. And still, when they played it like before the episode, I was still on the edge of my seat. Like it was like I was watching it for the first time. I was so excited. Just that last shot of the trailer of Kristen sort of like stumbling to get up with her limbs in every direction. I mean, it's a masterpiece if I've ever seen one. Then, of course, we get that raise your glasses high. You know, the I hit that note, didn't I? I kind of hit that note. We get the opening thing and we see all our friends. And it was so thrilling to see Kristen in the shot because do you remember there were those reports from like Radar Online when they were filming that Kristen wasn't a main cast member? So it was so exciting to see Kristen in that opening shot with the wind machine and just like, you know, spilling a drink or whatever the fuck they do in those. And like James was holding like a record, which I don't think has he held a record before? Maybe he has, but it was still shocking to see James with the like giant record in the opening shot. After seeing the episode, it's kind of a missed opportunity that he's not holding a pair of white Supreme underwear that Jax gave him, or a pumptaine. Anyway, that music, like I love the music. I was sort of surprised. I actually thought they were going to either add new people to that intro or maybe change it around a little bit because I feel like we've been having this exact same cast for so long. Like we haven't had any full-time new additions since James and Lala. And so, yeah, I was like sort of surprised. I thought maybe like that Adam would have slipped in there or Billy Lee would have slipped in there. I was assuming they were going to throw someone else in there. And I wonder if they wanted to, but then, you know, although this season, it doesn't look like we have any other like major characters besides maybe Raquel, I feel like, is going to step it up. I mentioned that on one of the previous episodes. I feel like Raquel is, this is her breakout season. I feel like she's going to really step it up. And I know everyone hates Raquel, but I feel like that Bambi-eyed bitch is really going to jump on in and get right on board with these people. And I'm excited. Also, at the end of those intro credits, we get like the whole group shot. And that's where we do get people like Billie Lee and all their boyfriends are there. Guillermo's there. Fucking Diana, who Guillermo and Diana, I think, need to get a spinoff. Like, I want to know more about their lives. I want the cameras to follow them at home. Diana, of course, was famously told to suck a dick by Kristen. Never forget. But I feel like Diana's got some skeletons in her closet, and I would like to know what they are. So one of these seasons, I know we're still pretty early on. I'm hoping that this goes at least to season 40. And in one of the seasons between now and season 40, I'm going to need the cameras to follow Diana home. Or Guillermo, one of the two. Or both. I mean, really both. I need the cameras on both of them. So fingers crossed for that. Then the first two we see are Lala and Sheena. And they're walking to work. And Lala is saying, I like being 120 to 123. Meaning like her weight. And so like I thought she was talking about like, oh, she likes being thinner. But then she said she likes feeling her ass bounce. And so that I was thinking like, oh, is that like a weight that your ass would bounce? Like I'm not familiar with women's weights, to be quite honest with you. I know my weight. And I know that my ass bounces a little bit where I'm at now with the holiday weight. So I was a little unclear about that. So I marked in my notes, like, do research on women's weights. So I'm going to do that later. We see Tom and Ariana at work at Sir. And I laughed so hard because James was DJing. And Tom like goes up to Ariana. He's like, I forgot my earplugs. She's like, oh, what? And he's like, yeah, James is DJing. I forgot my earplugs. Like, how funny. I've been to see you next Tuesday. And you know what? Tom's not wrong. It's loud in there. Like earplugs, you know, frankly, they should give them out at the door. But it would just make me laugh so hard that he said that on camera. And then Lala's, of course, at the host stand. And Billie Lee comes right on in and says, she says to Lala that there are no phones allowed because Lala was on her phone. And I thought, this is foreshadowing because Lala, she took it, but she, when Billie Lee walked away, she said to herself, like, you don't even own this place or you don't run this restaurant. And I thought, oh, they're planting the seeds for this Billie Lee versus Lala, which we saw in the trailer. And I cannot wait to see more. Then we get something that was very troubling to me. We cut to Jax and Brittany at their apartment. And Jax made Brittany a turkey sandwich. And now I want to run through this turkey sandwich. So it was deli turkey meat. It looked like maybe wheat bread. Just, you know, regular bread. It wasn't like a French baguette or a croissant or anything like that. It was just sliced bread, deli turkey. It wasn't like a roasted turkey. It wasn't, you know, we weren't dealing with anything like a Thanksgiving bird or even like a roasted chicken or anything like that. It was deli turkey. It was what I assume was a Kraft single. It was a square cheese that looked very flimsy like a Kraft single. I'm not certain that it was a Kraft single. It could have been like the Target brand, maybe like that Archer Farms square cheese, or, you know, I know Rite Aid carries some square cheese of different varieties, but let's go ahead and assume it's the best of the best and it's a Kraft single. And then there was some squeezable mayo on it. And he, you know, he put that together, put the top slice of bread over the squeezed mayo. And then he, you know, reached in the cupboard and grabbed some chips, poured some chips on the plate. They didn't look like fresh chips. It was like a lot of the chips were from the bottom of the bag. You know, it was like the kind of small, crummy ones, the broken ones at the bottom of the bag. Put them on there and then delivered this meal to Brittany. So then Jack says in his confessional that last year he regrets 99% of his decisions. So we get this flashback of everything that happened last year. Of course, last year Jack slept with Faith, who also worked at Sir. And they slept together in the same bed with an elderly woman. So Jax had a threesome with Faith and an elderly woman. The elderly woman was not conscious, much like Ken was throughout most of this episode. The elderly woman was just laying down, and Faith had been a caretaker to her. And so they had hooked up, and there was a recording of all this stuff that happened that was played in front of Brittany and all of Brittany's friends. And Jax had lied about it, and then he finally confessed to it. So these are all things that happened last season. And then, you know, Brittany, of course, famously told him to rotten hell. Rotten hell, Jax. Rotten hell. R-A-W-T. Rot. I'll never tire of seeing Brittany say rotten hell. So we see all this in flashbacks. And then Jax says he didn't take this job that he was allegedly offered at the end of last season in Florida. Jax says to Brittany, you know, he decided to stay. He picked the girl over the job, but really, it's still very unclear what this hockey job was. Okay, none of us really have any concrete answers. But he says that he didn't take this job. Then we see a montage of Jax buying groceries. He's buying probably all those things that went on the sandwich. Then we cut to Brittany. And this was the most troubling thing I think I've ever seen on TV. She seemed so taken aback by this new man that was apparently Jax. And she says, she was so happy that she stuck with him, she said, because he's changed so much for the better. So we see it in the montage that he's changed, but we're all led to act as if Jax suddenly turned into Prince Charming because he threw a Kraft single on a slice of bread and then squeezed some mayo on it. He didn't even use a knife for that mayo. He just squeezed it on. He went to that grocery store and he bought the squeezable mayo. He didn't buy a jar of mayo. He bought the squeezable one. So it wasn't even like he had to take out a knife, put the knife in the mayo jar, and then wash the knife off, put it in the dishwasher, then run the dishwasher, and then take the knife out, put it away. He didn't even have to do all that. Literally, he got the squeezable mayo for the least amount of effort to make a sandwich for his woman. And she's sitting there acting as if he is Prince fucking Charming. And she's telling us, oh, he's changed so much. And I'm thinking, wow, like that's all the footage they could find. Like when they ran that montage of all the ways that Jax has gotten better and changed for good, it was like we were watching this montage of him just running to the grocery store and then squeezing some mayo on a sandwich. And it was like, and to see that right after we see this other montage of like of Jax sleeping with Faith and the old lady, I mean, wow. So then we cut back to Sir, and James is DJing. James is revealing to Tom and Ariana, and Raquel's there in like this white number. And it's revealed that James did a rap about Jax fucking Faith. So James was, of course, DJing and apparently like got on the microphone and starts rapping about, and he says something like, you know, and then Jax fucked Faith or something like that. I don't know. I really did try to write down the lyrics, and then he was like talking fast and I was distracted by Raquel's like bridal white outfit that she was wearing. I couldn't make heads or tails of what James rapped about, but it was something about Jax fucking Faith. And apparently he said it in front of Brittany and it really upset Brittany. And so Jax now hates James. So even though last season they were on like good terms, now Jax hates James. And so Jax then had been like texting James that he wanted to beat him up. We saw a screenshot of the text, which I love when Vanderpump does this. Vanderpump Rules always gets the receipts. Like we always see the text messages. Do you remember when they would show like videos like Tom Sandoval crying to Sheena or whatever? Like that's what Vanderpump Rules does so well. Like they give us the receipts and they pop them up on screen. I love it. So they showed us the screen grab of the text. And it was something about, like, I'm going to come at you, like, fight me like a man or, you know, whatever. And then they sort of just present that to us. So now we know that Jax and James are feuding, but we don't know quite to what extent. I actually thought that it was, like, just Jax and James. And I didn't realize that this is going to be a whole season of everyone against James. And that worries me, first of all, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. So then Lisa and whoever is puppeteering Ken, Lisa and Ken, you know, Ken kind of like someone drags Ken in, his eyes barely open, but he's holding a bunch of dogs. He's got Jiggy with them. They come in. Lala's at the host stand and it's revealed that Lala lost her father, which was very, very upsetting. It was very sad. And I couldn't imagine like her father was young and she's young too. I mean, it was heartbreaking to watch her talk about her dad. And then it was also revealed that LVP lost her brother, and as she revealed, it was from suicide, and that was upsetting and tough. And we know, if any of you follow like the blogs, the Housewives stuff, we know that that plays into her filming The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And so I'm curious, just from a production standpoint, how they're going to like layer that into Beverly Hills Housewives. But we'll see. And they kind of had like a moment. They shared a moment about losing people, and they mentioned Jack's lost his father as well. And at one point, like, Lisa and Lala were holding hands, and I'm not kidding, I was crying. Like, I had tears in my eye. Tears were flowing down. I was in the fetal position. And I'm like, wow, we've come so far. Like, I care so much about Lala. Meanwhile, Ken was not comforting anyone. He was just asleep. I don't understand, you guys. Why is Ken filming? Why is he filming? It doesn't seem like he wants to be there. He's not getting in the mix. Is Lisa just like making him film with her? Like, he's literally not adding anything to the scene. Maybe like in season one or two, it was nice to see the dogs. Do you know what I mean? He was holding Jiggy. And so it was like, okay, well, you know, he's basically like Jiggy's chair. So it's fine if he's there because we get to look at the dog. I mean, who doesn't like to look at a dog? I'm happy if there's a pooch on screen. Like, show me a dog. I'm in good spirits. But now we've seen Jiggy 100 times. And frankly, I don't think Jiggy wants to film anymore either. I don't think Jiggy's interested in this show any longer. You know, when they just sort of check out, we've seen Housewives do it. Vicki Gunvalson on Orange County, she's checked out. And I feel like Jiggy's the same way. Jiggy and Vicki Gunvalson, neither one of them want to shoot this show anymore. They're both just doing it for the money. Jiggy doesn't care about fame. I told you guys on another podcast that Vicky does not care about the fame. I truly believe that. Vicky does it for the money. And I think Jiggy is in the same boat. But regardless, we have Ken carrying Jiggy. And I don't want to look at Ken anymore, you guys. I said it. There, I said it. But now we say it.
Okay, enough, girl. Enough. Enough. We're not doing this anymore. I'm not having this anymore. Enough.
I don't want to look at Ken anymore. I'm sick of it. I don't think he wants to be there. I don't think he wants us to look at him. He needs to either wake up. If he's going to step in front of that camera, I'm going to need him to pop some caffeine. You know, do whatever he's got to do to perk it up. But if he's just going to, like, you know, walk on screen and take a nap, then I want you off. We could get somebody else in there that'll spice things up. There's plenty of people in West Hollywood that'll hop on camera and, you know, start some drama. So unless Ken is willing to wake up, then I need him to get out. Do you remember on Full House? Remember on Full House? It was like, wake up, San Francisco. Wake up. That was like the ditty. Wake up. That's what I think about when I see Ken on screen. Like, wake up, Ken. Ken Todd or whatever. Wake up. Ken needs to wake the fuck up. So then we get another really upsetting scene, which was Sheena serving. Now, we know that these people, they don't really work at these restaurants much outside of filming. They still do work there, of course. I'm not saying they don't. But most of the time, I feel like they're only serving on camera. So I don't think Sheena's waiting tables while the cameras aren't there. I think some of them still do, but I'm pretty sure Sheena does not. But she is, of course, doing it on camera. And we see her serving, and it's revealed that she's seeing a few people. She reveals that on August 31st, 2017, Rob broke up with her. And the story was really great. She said Rob was picking his fantasy football team, and then right afterwards, he dumped her. It was hard to hear, but I laughed. And so Sheena reveals that she's seeing a few people, and then there's a guy that she's waiting on at the table, who I think was mic'd. Okay, he was mic'd. He asks for her number, like he flirts with her and asks for the number. And this was upsetting because it seems so stagey. Do you know what I mean? It was like, I think he was mic'd and he had to have known that he was going to ask for her number. I feel like it was totally set up. And I don't like when they try to trick me. I feel like Vanderpump Rules is pretty realistic. Like, I think they're all actually friends. And you know, I've said this before, I've seen these people out and about in West Hollywood, and I feel like they're all really like this. On how they are on TV is how they are. And that's what makes Vanderpump Rules so great, is that it feels authentic. So the minute I see Sheena doing like a fake flirtation with someone that she's not really serving, like that, it was like, okay. And we see in the trailer, like, Sheena's not in the trailer a lot, and it's like, maybe this is why Sheena. I don't know, I'm still a little concerned about it, because I actually like Sheena. I know this is very controversial, but here's my theory. I would say 99.9% of the people that watch Vanderpump Rules have a disdain for Sheena. So every time we watch these episodes, you know, we all like to go online, get on Twitter, you know, social media, whatever, and we all like to talk about the episode. And by and large, I'd say 99.9% of us that use social media, we all love to hop on Twitter or whatever and say how much Sheena's annoying us, right? I think of these shows as like a sport. It's like my Bravo is like a sport. Usually everyone has their teams. Like when you're watching New York, remember we would recap New York, and some people are Team Bethany, some people were Team Carol. And the feuds, they would get really intense. Like people would argue back and forth. I got called a fag multiple times once when I defended Carol. That was very upsetting. But it's like also very fun because everyone has their teams. Well, Sheena's one of the rare people on Bravo that I feel unites almost all of us. And so I want her to keep doing the show because I love the community aspect of everyone hopping online to hate on Sheena. Like, I think it's very fun. And I do. Is Sheena in on the joke? I don't know. I don't know that she is. But either way, she takes it like a champ because she allows us all to do that. And for that, I salute her. I salute her. But I feel like out of anyone in the cast, she's probably the most hated. Like, I love Kristen Doty, and I feel like Doty's got a lot of feverish fans, you know what I mean? But then there's also a large section of people that don't like her. But Sheena is by and large hated because she's good as gold. So then Jax brings Brittany to work. He's dropping her off and he decides to stop on in. He wants to go talk to James. He like is charging at James like a freight train. He says he goes up to James in the DJ booth and he's like, let's go to the parking lot. I'm going to beat you up or whatever. James is saying like, well, what happened? Like, sorry I said those things. He's sort of doing that not real apology. And then we get a bit of information that truly stunned me. It was revealed that 2 weeks prior to this confrontation, Jax had given James a gift, and that gift was Supreme underwear. Jax gave James Supreme underwear. When James revealed this information to the audience, it flashed back to a video of James in his house that he shares with that old man. It's revealed that he was given white underwear by Jax, and he modeled it for us in his home or that old man's home, wherever he stays. And I just want to take a moment of silence, you guys. Like, I don't even know how to process this information. Like, it left me stunned. So I'd like us all to just take a moment. Like, let's just sink this in. I want you all to think about this, that Jax gave James some white underwear and James modeled it. But just think about, like, 2 weeks prior, Jax gave James white underwear. Let's take a second. Just think about it. Okay. So it was not only white underwear, it was also limited edition. I left that out, but you know, I won't make us do another moment of silence, but I just think it's important that we all take that in. So Jax is telling James, like, let's go outside. I'm going to like beat you the fuck up. And James is like, no, I got to work. I don't want to get fired. Then we see Ken again, who's, you know, barely alive. There was one point truly where Ken's eyes were closed and I didn't think they were going to reopen. I thought that was it. I thought maybe we lost him. You know, somebody check the pulse, because at one point he just shut his eyes and then, you know, wasn't sure what was. I thought we might have lost him there. But luckily, he woke up and you know what's interesting? Okay, I'm sorry to harp on this about Ken, but this is a show that is filled with so many dynamic personalities, right? Like, even the most boring of these people is still so dynamic. Like, I always think back on The Hills, and The Hills had very boring personalities. I loved it. But if you look at people like LC, Whitney Port, Lauren Conrad, Audrina, the most boring people to ever be on TV. Like, they were the blandest bunch you could possibly find. That show was still amazing, and not taking away from that. It was just the blandest people on TV. If that show were to start now, I don't know that it would take off the way it did, but that was a different time. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. But then you look at Vanderpump Rules, and we have people like Jax and Stassi, and, I mean, just the most dynamic of people. And then we have Ken. And it's like, Ken does not fit in with this crew. Like, put Ken next to Kristen Doty, and then actually, you know, Ken, would look completely dead. Like, he wouldn't look like he's all there, because Kristen is so compelling and crazy, and or Sheena or Lala or any of them. Pick any of them. Even with some of the side characters, like, put them next to Raquel. It's like, can one of these things is not like the other, and that's the old man that keeps showing up in these scenes. I'm sorry, somebody had to say it. Somebody had to say it. So then we cut to a scene at the Belmont, which is a bar I've been to many a times, and Stassi, and we meet her new boyfriend, Beau. And Beau seems really adorable, and they seem really cute together, and they seem to complement each other well. And I feel like they're going to get engaged soon, if they're not already. Like, they could have already gotten engaged. And they meet with Tom Schwartz, and Tom Schwartz is as adorable as ever. He's such a scamp. But Beau is really cute, and as Stassi in her confessional, she starts talking about Beau, and she cries at one point. Like, she loves him so much, she cried. And so at the Belmont, the three of them meet, and Tom Schwartz reveals that he's been striving to be more balanced. So now he orders half shots. Then Jax shows up, and this was the moment where I thought Jax looked like very season one Jax. Didn't he look like very trim or something? Maybe it was the hair too. I think his hair was more season one-ish. He reveals to everyone that he's going to propose to Brittany. So he tells Stassi and Beau, and it's cute to see Stassi and Jax have such a good relationship. And they start talking about Jax, or they start talking about James a little bit. And then we cut back to See You Next Tuesday. Brittany is there working, and she sees Lisa. Lisa goes up to her, and she talks about the James situation. And right when Lisa walks up to Brittany, she tells Ken, she's like, can you go wait in the car, darling? And it's like, this should have happened a long time ago. Like, he should have been waiting in the car from the jump of the episode. So now we're 25 minutes into this episode. We still haven't seen Kristen Doty. Finally, we do at this tattoo parlor, where it's also, they do piercings. Lala and Kristen are getting piercings done. Kristen is dressed like the Hamburglar. She's the Hamburglar of Sur. She's just stealing all those goat cheese balls. And also, now I'm going to start calling Lisa McVanderpump. But Kristen was dressed like a referee, and Katie was wearing camo, and I was just so excited to see them. Like, I literally, like, stood up. I was like, chills, so happy. And then it's revealed that Lala is upset with James too, because they were at Coachella, and then James had said to Lala in front of Randall, her boyfriend, that we all know each other inside and out. Now, I guess this was like a reference to James hooking up with Lala. But here's the thing, it didn't seem, I don't know, that seemed like something like playful and stupid that James would say, but it didn't seem that bad to me. Am I the only one that thought that? Like, did you guys think, I didn't think it was like that bad. I was shocked, especially at Coachella. It's like, it wasn't like they were all sober. No one goes to Coachella and is completely sober. So it was like, would that really be a huge deal that he said in front of people, like, we all know each other inside and out. He didn't even like explicitly say like, oh, we all fucked or something like that. So I just didn't think it was that big of a deal, but Lala seemed to take it really tough and said that she's completely disowning him. And I really didn't understand. But Lala gets the ears pierced. Then Kristen gets the ear pierced. And they're still talking about James. And then at one point, Katie, she says, time's up on James. And so she's starting to take hold of the Me Too movement and appropriate it. And she somehow twisted this into time's up on James. And I mean, on one hand, I commend Katie for getting in there, getting in the mix. And then we see Villa Blanca, Lisa, and Weekend at Bernie's go to Villa Blanca to meet Tom Tom. While they're walking into, there's this like really cheesy song. I don't know if you guys noticed. Like, sometimes the Vanderpump Rules music is weird, like the Segway music. There was a song called like, this is our town, this is our town. It was like a weird Broadway, but EDM version or something. It was very bizarre. But we sit down at Villa Blanca. Tom Tom shows up. Both of them never looking better. Again, I keep saying that, but I think Tom Schwartz and Tom Sandoval both looked amazing. And then LVP reveals that she needs a cocktail list for Tom Tom. And they're supposed to be working on this this cocktail list. And insider secret, you guys, Tom has made me some drinks before, Tom Sandoval. And he's like a legit, this sounds like gross, but he's like a legit good bartender. Like, I was shocked. I was like, because I always just thought like, oh, a bartender, like, they probably just know how to make. But him and Ariana, like, literally know how to make really fancy good drinks. Like, they're not, I don't know. I don't know why I feel the need to tell you guys that. But it's true. It's like a gross brag. But they did make me drinks, and they're fantastic. And, like, I was taken aback. Like, literally, like, I thought, like, oh, wow, like, these are great. So anyway, Vanderpump needs the cocktail list. Mick Vanderpump needs the cocktail list. And they're talking about this, and Sandoval says he wants to get these shot glasses that you could give to people. And I thought that was a great idea, too, because I feel like we all go to these restaurants like Tom Tom Sir, Vanderpump, and we all want souvenirs. Imagine if we could take our little shot glass home. Like, I would love that. We would all go and take them home. I still haven't been to Tom Tom yet, which I know I'm embarrassed for myself. So then it's revealed that Pandora's overseeing the cocktail list. So Sandoval and Schwartz are supposed to come up with it, but Pandora's overseeing it. And you guys, here's another, some, you know, this is going to be controversial too. I do not care for Pandora. I think there's a reason that we don't want to see her on screen. Like, I don't think we want to see her on screen. If we wanted to, they would have shown her more. But every season, somehow they, like, you know, wedge her on in there. Her and Ken just, like, come, you know, just when you think you got rid of them, it's like Ken comes sleeping on camera, and then Pandora just, like, comes like, hello. I was just, do you guys remember Father of the Bride, Franck? I feel like that's, like, Pandora once a season, like, hello, but with, like, zero of the personality that Franck Eckelhofer had. Pandora wishes, frankly. Pandora wishes she was half the fun as Franck Eckelhofer from the Father of the Bride films. But every season, it's just like, that's why, you know, Pandora comes hopping on in screen. It's like, I don't want to, I don't need to see that. Hello. Who are you? Oh my God, you guys, Franck. I was, like, literally on YouTube. This is an aside, but I was on YouTube the other day just watching Franck clips. Truly some of the funniest thing. Like, Martin Short as Franck is some of the best comedic talent I've ever seen before. Like, obviously, it must be a comedian. Mother and daughter are pregnant together. Get out of town. Get out of town. Hello. Oh, my God. Franck is so great. And I love him. What a gay icon Franck is. Pandora is not. Pandora wishes she was a gay icon the way that Franck Eckelhofer is. Pandora's more like Franck's assistant. If I had to put the Vanderpump Rules cast into the Father of the Bride films, I would say that Pandora, you know what? Pandora's not even as cool as, like, Franck's assistant. I'd say Pandora is more like, do you remember? Okay. Do you remember in the first one when they had the wedding at George's house, George and Nina's house? And do you remember they only hired, like, two valets for the wedding? And then do you remember, like, the kid, the young boy and his friend, and I'm doing, like, the valet, you know? And it's revealed, like, the two valet people that were hired, like, they were so exhausted and they don't even have any lines, but you just see them, like, really tired because they couldn't do all the cars. And then George has to, like, leave the wedding, and then, you know, Franck is like, why are there only two LAs? And George is like, oh, I got rid of them. Like, we didn't need them, whatever. And then the kids and Franck and George have to, like, literally leave the wedding to go move all the cars around. I think Franck goes back, but they have to move all the cars around and with the, you know, the one valet or whatever that's left. And I feel like Pandora is, like, one of those two tired valets. Like, if she had to be one of the characters from the Father of the Bride films, she's, like, the extra who plays the valet. I wonder how many people turned off the podcast after that little tangent. Little Father of the Bride. Who do you guys think Jax would be in the Father of the Bride films? Let's go through the list. Hello. Who would be Franck? Let me think. I mean, obviously, like, it's been revealed that Kevin she Dalang is Franck. I mean, he even said in interviews that Franck was based off him, but we're not counting him because he's sort of like an extra bit player on The Housewives. But so who would be Franck in the Vanderpump Rules universe? I'd probably say, I would actually say maybe Lala. Lala's got this personality of a Franck. I mean, she doesn't have a lot of the, like, the cadence, but she's got a lot of that personality. So I, you know, I'm going to go with Lala, but we can all, let's all sit on that and think about it for a little bit. Anyway, then Brittany and Stassi go to the dog park. Stassi knows about the engagement, but she's trying to hide it from Brittany. She's not saying anything. And then Tom and Jax go to pick up the ring. Jax is spending some of his dad's inheritance on this big, beautiful ring. And Tom says to him that, or I don't know if it was in his confessional or just to him, he said he hopes that Jax isn't doing this engagement because of the dad thing, because his dad just passed away. And Jax actually says, like, yeah, I am, because when my dad died, like, Brittany really took over and she booked the flights and she took the phone calls and stuff. And I realized, like, how could I ever leave him? And I don't know, it worried me a little bit. I got worried, much like Tom did in the scene. I was like, oh, this, it feels like it's a rushed decision. And I always say, like, you should have at least a year in your relationship with no drama before you think about moving to the next step. I might have heard that from my arch nemesis, Patty Stanger. I don't remember. But for those of you asking, Patty Stanger, I don't have a real reason why she's my arch nemesis. I just find her to be tough. And she's on my list. Her and Melissa Joan Hart. That's neither here nor there. That's a tale for another time. But I worry that this is happening with that. But I mean, I know Jax loves Brittany, but it's a weird... I worry about it. And it also was revealed that they were broken up at one point, and Brittany was hanging out with her ex-boyfriend, and she said she slept with him. His name was Aaron. And then she says that she thinks Jax couldn't stand seeing her with someone else. I don't know. It was seemed like a lot of red flags. It even seemed like Brittany was kind of jumping back into this thing too soon. Like, the dad passing away, I feel like, you know, a death really does change you in a lot of ways, and it makes you reexamine your life and reevaluate things. And so, you know, that could be a good thing or it could be a bad thing. I hope it's all a good thing. That's all I'll say. So then Jax puts the ring in a box and puts the box in front of his dick. They're going to get engaged at the Neptune Net in Malibu, which is a really fun place. I didn't feel like it came across well on camera. It seemed like a ding, I don't know, a shitty park or something like that. But it's actually a really fun place. I don't know that it's like, I don't know. I don't know. Seemed good for them. They took a lift there, which was weird to me, though. It was like, he spent all this money on the ring, and then it wasn't even like a nice, like, black car lift or Uber. It was like just a regular, like a shitty lift, like a Honda Civic or something. It was like, I feel like at this point we should maybe, you know, up the ante and just take an Uber Black, you know, like a nicer town car. But I wasn't planning this. So I also wondered, like, the lift, it was a Lyft driver, but then they had the camera crew in the car. So I thought, I wonder if this was hired by Bravo and it was like a Lyft sponsorship, or if they ordered a Lyft and then they like asked the Lyft, like, hey, can we put a camera crew in the car, but we won't film you. I don't know. What were the logistics there? Maybe it was Ken driving him around. Although I don't know if I trust Ken to drive me. He might fall asleep at the wheel. Anyway, okay, you guys, we have to take a quick break. So let's take our commercial break here and then we'll come back and we'll talk more about Vanderpump. Icons, if you're anything like me, you love to spend TV commercial breaks browsing real estate listings. Now, I love watching my favorite shows and also looking up homes, especially the ones that I know that I can't afford. And my favorite app to use is Redfin. When Matt and I were looking for a home, we used the Redfin app to search for homes in the area and within our budget. The Redfin app made it super easy. Now, Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes and sends you personalized recommendations. So finding the home that's perfect for you has never been easier. Plus, if you see something you like, you can book a tour straight from the app. And when you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents know how to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards your next home. So Redfin made it so easy to filter out the homes that didn't meet or have the necessities I wanted. I still use it to search for homes close by and in the cities my favorite reality TV stars live. Download the Redfin app to get started. Ever since I saw Clueless, I wanted to have the most amazing wardrobe, and that includes all of the clothes inside the wardrobe closet, and that's why I'm excited to talk to you about Quince. Now, Quince has you covered with truly timeless pieces that never go out of style. You'll have them in your closet forever. Quince has all sorts of must-haves. I'm talking Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $50. I have a blue cashmere crew neck sweater I got from them that I get so many compliments on all the time. I love it. Plus iconic 100% leather jackets and versatile flow knit activewear. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes us savings all over to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. Love that. Makes you feel good about shopping with Quince. Again, I've gotten a lot of stuff there. Just good quality pieces and a lot of different options if you're looking to upgrade your wardrobe. So indulge in the affordable luxury. Go to Quince.com/iconic for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, Quince.com/iconic to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/iconic. They get to the Neptunes thing. And then meanwhile, at Katie and Tom Schwartz's house, Katie's vacuuming, which was a sight I could do without. And then Tom is making cocktails. And then Stassi and Dodie show up. And it was funny, Schwartz said that the cocktail shaker is like the bat signal for Dodie and Stassi, and that made me laugh. And then they all sit down and they're talking about Brittany and Jax, and Kristen reveals that she thinks that Jax is going to propose, and she's like putting all these pieces together. And this was like Detective Dodie was back on the case, and I loved it. It was like she had her monocle, she was like, you know, ready to go. It was like Angela Lansbury, Murder, She Wrote, Harriet the Spy, all rolled into one. Dodie was ready to play with this Marlboro cigarette in her back pocket. Like, she figured out this engagement before anyone else did, and that's why she's great on TV and for detective work. I mean, I would want to put her on some cases in the, you know, let's get her in the, what's that FBI case? What's that FBI case? Let's get her on them. I hate that I could recall things like Frank Egelhoffer's name from Father of the Bride, but I can't think of like the big investigation going on with our president at this time. Like, why is my brain the way that it is, you guys? Like, I literally like cannot think of like who's on the case against I sound so stupid. I don't know who's on the case. It's like but I know I could, you know, name the valets in Father of the Bride. Okay, I need to get some sleep. But so they're at this, Jackson, Brittany are at Neptune Net in Malibu, and there's like porta potties all around. It really grossed me out. They were both wearing all white and they went into the porta johns, and that's dangerous to me. And I don't know if I've shared this on the podcast before, but I have this intense fear of being in a porta potty and it getting tipped over. Have you ever seen that happen? I think it's been on like movies and TV shows. It's like such a bully thing to do. Like, you're in there and somebody like knocks, like the evil high school kids like come and knock it over. Every time I get in a porta potty, like, I literally say a Hail Mary and I make the sign of a cross and I pray to share my God. And I worry that somebody's just going to come and tip me over, and then the shit from the porta potty is going to like fly all over me. It's one of my biggest fears in life. Truly. Truly. I also have this fear. I don't know if you guys have been watching 90 Day Fiancé, but I've been getting nightmares because on Asuelo or whatever the fuck his name is, you know, he was, did you guys see the episode when he was carrying the baby on his shoulders? And it was so scary to me to watch him with that newborn baby on his shoulders. Like, he seemed like so kind of like, I don't know, loose with it. It was like a baby giraffe, like walking for the first time on Asuelo with a baby on his neck. And I keep having nightmares of Asuelo with that baby and the baby falling off. I keep getting nightmares about it. And anyway, so that joins my other nightmare of falling over in a porta potty. So I didn't like seeing that. And they were all just in all white. Like, that would have been a real big mess. Ultimate mess. So then they order their food and let's see. Oh, meanwhile, at Katie and Tom's house, like, they're talking to Kristen. And Kristen's saying that she was texting with Jax all day. And this is why she's starting to think, like, you know, putting all the pieces together and thinking Jax is going to propose. And there's a throwaway line that Kristen revealed that Jax, in a text, Kristen had said to Jax, she said, let me preface this with, and then, you know, said something else. And so Kristen then revealed Jax's response to that was, what does preface mean? Wow, this is troubling for a lot of reasons. Number one, that he doesn't know what it means. Number two, that he didn't just Google the word, because if you're already looking at the text on your phone, it's really easy to just go quick Google of it. You know what I mean? Who am I to talk, though? I can't even think of who's doing those investigations, those U.S. government investigations, whatever we call them. I swear, you guys, I'm going to go open the news after I get off here and I'll learn about world events. But in the meantime, I just want to wrap this up by saying that Jax was very nervous about this. He even at one point talked to the camera. He said, I'm nervous. And it was cute because they broke the fourth wall. I always love when they do that. And then he proposed and it was in front of all these people. It was cute. It felt like very cute for them. I was concerned there was like a table full of people in the background and one of them wouldn't sign the release. And that just bummed me out because it was like, you know, this could have been really beautiful footage for the grandkids one day. And, you know, they're going to be watching this footage and there's going to be a blurred out man in the background who wouldn't sign the release. You know, like Jax and Brittany probably thought, oh, I'm going to propose on camera and then we'll always have that footage to show our kids, our grandkids, their grandkids. And it's like that footage is going to be tainted by like one blurred out man who wouldn't sign a fucking release form at Neptune's in Malibu. I know that bummed me out quite a bit. Also bummed me out that there was a lot of sauces everywhere. It was like, you know, a lot of sauce on the table for a proposal. They didn't even have the food at the table at that point. It was just like sauces everywhere. Brittany kept getting up to get some tartar sauce and like ketchup and, you know, ranch. It was like every fucking sauce was at that table. And I've been there before. I don't remember all the sauces being there, but apparently they were available to Brittany. And she's like, I'm engaged. I'm engaged. She went from Rotten Hill to I'm engaged. And that is a beautiful journey. And we're on it with her. So, you know, did she get engaged with a table full of sauces and some Porto Johns in the background? Yes. But you know what? It looked like she was happy. And that's all that matters. She was happy. She was acting as if she won a prize. And I was happy for Brittany. I was happy that she was happy. A tear came to my eye. And I hope those two kids make it. I really do. And you know what? They love each other. They do. It comes down to it. They love each other. Next week is apparently Pride. And the real important thing is Raquel becomes a star. It's revealed that Raquel's becoming a star next week. I'm very excited about that. And then we'll see more from this Brittany and Jax engagement. I don't think it's going to be as much like wedding stuff as we thought. Like, I think when Brittany and Jax got engaged, I think we all worried, like those of us that follow the blogs or social media or whatever, I think we worried that it was going to be like a full season of wedding planning. And I don't think we're going to get that, which is good. It's good. I think they're going to just kind of sit in this engagement for a while. Even Katie was like, I hope they don't get married right away. And I was happy for Katie to say that. Meanwhile, Brittany's like, I knew he was going to take a wife someday. And I was like, that's tough. But happy for you. I'm just so happy that they're back. You guys, I'm happy for her and I'm happy for me, more importantly. And I'm happy for all of you because we needed this. We needed a win. We needed this show back. We needed these kids back in our lives. So I'm sorry to inundate you with content. I know we had another new episode. I hope you'll listen to the other one on Monday. And then we'll be back on Thursday with the Housewives recaps. But I want to thank you all for listening. Now, if you're new to the show, I've been doing these cool downs at the end of the episode. So I'm going to do that in a second. Before I do, I want to say, please find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram. And on Facebook, it's facebook.com/PellegrinoDanny. Please join the Everything Iconic Facebook group. I want to thank Samsung Technologies for sponsoring the show. And I want to say, if you want bonus episodes of the show, or if you simply want to support this podcast monetarily, it would be lovely. I truly couldn't make the show without the support of the Patreon. So if you want to head on over to patreon.com/everythingiconic, you can click the Become a Patron button. And for $4 or more per month, you get access to all of the bonus episodes. And there's Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and New Jersey and New York recaps up there. And I'm going to be recapping all sorts of iconic episodes. And there's some other fun stuff there, too. So please do that if you feel so inclined. And let's see. Anything else? Let's do our little cool down. So inspired by a soul cycle class I took once, let's all take a deep breath in. Hold it. Breathe out. Take another deep breath in. Hold it. Now, I want to think of someone that you love or you loved romantically. Now, breathe out. Now, we saw this beautiful engagement on screen on Vanderpump Rules. So I just want to encourage you to reach out to your boyfriend, girlfriend, maybe an ex, hopefully an ex that you're on good terms with, and just tell them that you love them. Reach out. Maybe you're sitting next to your husband or your wife or boyfriend or girlfriend. Give him a kiss and tell him you love him. I love you guys. I love you guys so much for listening.
Bye.